Greetings, America. This is Not So Shy John, and this is the Kill Radio Weekly News. Today is November the 20th, 2012, and this is from the Harper's Weekly Review. The Israel military began Operation Pillar of Defense in what it claimed was a response to ongoing rocket attacks launched from Gaza. We recommend that no Hamas operatives, whether low-level or senior leaders, show their faces above ground in the days ahead, tweeted the Israeli Defense Forces. Our blessed hands will reach your leaders and soldiers wherever they are. You opened hell gates on yourselves, tweeted the Al-Qassam Brigades. Hackers launched 44 million cyber attacks on Israeli government websites, and Hamas, for the first time, fired on targets in Jerusalem, where civil defense sirens went off on Friday. I thought, is that for Shabbat? Said West Jerusalem resident Judy Axelrod, who took refuge in a YMCA. Israeli officials claimed that Iron Dome, an American-financed missile defense system, had successfully intercepted 80 to 90% of the rockets bound for densely populated areas, and a Hamas official claimed that a ceasefire being negotiated in Egypt was 90% complete. Three Israelis and more than 100 Palestinians had died by Monday morning. Turkey, which along with the European Union and several Gulf states, officially recognized Syria's rebel coalition as the country's legitimate government, was expected to request that NATO provide batteries of Patriot missiles to protect its border from attacks by the Assad regime, whose forces were shelling rebel positions near Damascus. Huge, random destruction, said an opposition activist. Lexicographers declared omnishambles, meaning a situation that has been comprehensively mismanaged, characterized by a string of blunders and miscalculations, the English word of the year. Climatologists announced that October was the 332nd month in a row with better than average temperatures. The New York City Buildings Department condemned 200 houses because of structural damage that occurred during Hurricane Sandy, and the Long Island Power Authority, whose trustees spent 39 seconds discussing preparations for the storm before it arrived, had yet to restore electricity to thousands of residents. I think my children could do a better job managing that company than their current staff does, said a woman whose 17-year-old parrot died from the cold. In a settlement with the U.S. government over the Deepwater Horizon oil spill of April 2010, BP pleaded guilty to 11 counts of felony manslaughter and agreed to pay $4.5 billion in fines and penalties. Divers in the Gulf of Mexico recovered the body of an oil worker who died in a rig fire on Friday. Former Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour said that the Republican Party was in need of a very serious proctology exam, and conservative lobbyist Grover Norquist said Mitt Romney had lost the presidential election because he was a poopy head. In a conference call with donors, Romney suggested that Barack Obama had been reelected for giving away free stuff, including contraception to college-age women and immigration reform to Hispanics. Those are pretty significant things. Charlie Webster, the chairman of the Maine Republican Party, was criticized for suggesting that the presence of dozens of black voters in rural parts of the state was a sign of voting irregularities. I play basketball every Sunday with a black guy, said Webster in defending himself. The Republican Party needs quite a bit of reform, said a man with a Romney Ryan face tattoo. An ABC News affiliate in Denver misreported the title of All In, Paula Broadwell's biography of General David Petraeus, as All Up In My Snatch, and a Taliban official expressed amusement at the affair between Petraeus and Broadwell, which led Petraeus to resign as CIA director. "What a bastard," said the official. From a Pashtun point of view, Petraeus should be shot by relatives from his mistress's family. A Utah paperboy was knocked off his bike and treed by a narcoleptic goat named Valdemort. And a federal judge ruled that an Iranian man's table tennis skills did not constitute the kind of extraordinary ability necessary to obtain a work visa. Hostess, the maker of the Twinkie, ceased baking Friday, announced it would enter bankruptcy proceedings, then began mediation talks with its second largest employee union. "The people who are running this company are not interested in making bread," said a bun bagger. "They are just interested in the money." Galapagos Islands conservationists plan to eradicate 180 million invasive rats living on the 7-square-mile islet of Pinzon. "This is a very expensive but totally necessary war," said one official. A paper published in the journal Zookeys described the anatomy of Elachme plenipes, a recently rediscovered species of millipede that can have as many as 750 legs. "It would only need to add a few more segments to get an even 1,000, said entomologist Paul Marek, "which would be fantastic." I guess 750 is not. 28 women broke the Guinness World Record for most people in a Mini Cooper at one time. "What differentiates us from animals," said a Guinness editor, "is that we do things that are distracting and fun." Researchers found that bored captive minks will entertain themselves with leather gloves. A Canadian man who for the past 12 years has been in a vegetative state imagined playing tennis in order to convey to neurologists that he knew of the existence of his niece, born 5 years after his injury, and imagined walking through his house to convey to them that he was not in physical pain. Novelist Philip Roth announced his retirement. "Writing is frustration," said Roth, who is helping his ex-girlfriend's 8-year-old daughter write a novella, not to mention humiliation. This from Anthony Lydgate. Harpers.org. I had some articles bookmarked here for you. This one, I think, is significant and important. This is from Yahoo Finance. I found it this morning. Black Friday and the Truth About Retail Jobs, by Catherine Reichlin and Jennifer Weary. "Starting this Friday and through the next month, we Americans will have something in common. We will be shopping more than usual. Most of us will go in and out of large chain stores countless times throughout the holiday season, making our purchases while likely never giving a thought to the fact that nearly half of the retail workers there are earning wages that put their families at or below the poverty line." Retail reality. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the typical retail salesperson earned $20,990 in 2011. I guess that's an average, but there are less, huh? The typical cashier earned less, just $18,500. Both are well below the official government poverty threshold of $22,113 for a family of four. Too many retail workers are struggling to support families on these wages. In fact, nearly one in five retail workers at our largest chains is the sole breadwinner in his or her household. The industry employed more than 15 14 million Americans this year and is projected to be one of the fastest growing areas of employment over the next decade. While retail bounced back gradually after the Great Recession, the sector's profitability reached a 10-year high in the first half of 2012. And the holiday forecast is optimistic, predicting a 4.1% gain in sales over 2011. While the retail sector has recovered, retail employees are no better off. They are working harder than ever and getting less in return. Retail workers' productivity has increased by an average of 0.8% each year since 2008. Yet their compensation on average declined. In this sense, employees finance the recovery of retail firms by means of increased workloads and forfeited wages. Does it have to be this way? It is easy to assume that large retailers must pay workers low wages in order to underwrite the low prices that Americans have come to expect and in many cases depend on. Yet when we look at the economics more closely, the automatic connection between low wages and low prices is not as justifiable as it seems. Retail's Hidden Potential, a new report by Demos, shows that the nation's largest retailers are in an exceptional position to change the nature of retail work and provide a boost to the economy that will pay them back in kind. By raising wages for their lowest paid workers, retailers can put money in consumers' wallets, lift families out of poverty, and contribute to a stronger economy. What's more, retailers can achieve this at a negligible cost to consumers. The report shows that if the nation's largest retailers improve their workers' wages to $25,000 a year for a full-time employee, they could immediately move more than 1.5 million Americans away from poverty. What's more, the raise would have the effect of a private stimulus for the economy. Calculations in the report show that a wage hike among large retailers would increase GDP between $11.8 and $15.2 billion over the next year. As a result of the economic growth from this wage increase, employers would create 100,000 to 132,000 additional jobs. What's more, with more income in their pockets, retail workers would spend an additional $4 to $5 billion at retail stores in the year following the wage increase. Decision time. Retailers could pay for the entire wage increase by redirecting profits from unproductive stock buybacks. Right now, firms spend billions of dollars each year buying back shares of their own company's stock. This practice consolidates ownership and boosts earnings per share for investors, but does not contribute to the long-term health of the retail workforce or to the health of the economy. If retailers chose to do so, they could redirect those funds dedicated to unproductive stock buybacks and instead make an investment in their workforce. According to calculation in Retail's Hidden Potential, the top 10 retail firms alone could finance raising wages for a full-time retail worker to $25,000 a year and still have billions of dollars to spare. If these firms instead chose to pass on the cost to consumers, it would add about 15 cents to the bill for a typical trip to the store. For the average household, that would amount to less than $18 a year. Low pay at retail employers is a persistent trend that holds workers back from meeting their needs and impedes economic growth. it can and should be reversed, not by government policy, but by companies stepping up to do their part. This change will benefit not only employees and their families, but retailers and the economy as a whole in the form of more productive workers, shoppers with more money in their wallets, increased GDP, and new jobs. This would truly be a holiday gift that gives back. Strong words. Catherine Reuchlin, author of Retail's Hidden Potential, is a policy analyst at Demos, a research and advocacy organization based in New York City. Catherine analyzes labor market, population, and other U.S. survey data. She is currently completing a PhD in economics at the New School, focusing on issues related to privatization in the criminal justice system. Jennifer Weary is a senior fellow at Demos, where she writes about current trends in education, economic opportunity, and positive public policy. She holds an undergraduate degree from Cornell University and a PhD from the University of Illinois. Her writing appears online and in newspapers around the country. You can follow her on Twitter at edteachpolicy, edteachpolicy. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that wraps up the Kill Radio Weekly News and Review. Thank you for listening, and I would advise you all to be good to one another in the coming week. Be patient, and stay out of the news.